And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is revolutions. Each of my guests is talking about a revolution in society or in their own life. My first guest is a music critic who turned his attention to protest songs to see the impact the music had on society. We discussed his latest book, 33 Revolutions Per Minute. My next guest is the CEO of Bannon Communications Research and a political pundit. We'll talk about the 2012 presidential election. In particular, we'll look at Donald Trump's aspirations to become president. As always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Brad Bannon is, as I said, the president of Bannon Communications Research, a Washington, D.C.-based political polling and consulting firm that helps Democratic candidates, labor unions, and progressive issue groups win political and public affairs campaigns. Campaigns and Elections magazine named Brad as a mover and shaker in the political consulting industry. He's also one of the Democratic insiders in the biweekly National Journal Pundit Poll. Brad started Bannon Communications Research in 1984, and his first client was Booth Gardner, who won an upset primary and general election that year and went on to serve two terms as governor for the state of Washington. Before founding his own firm, Brad worked on the political campaigns of a number of successful congressional candidates, including Senators Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts and Senator David Pryor of Arkansas. Brad earned his M.A. in political science from the University of Minnesota, and he got his bachelor's from Syracuse University. He grew up in Rhode Island and New York and has two children. He now lives, surprise, surprise, in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, Brad. How are you?
Fine, Billy. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, I love having you as a guest. Love your point of view. And we've got this topic that's swirling around right now. This media is giving so much attention to Donald Trump as a potential presidential candidate in 2012. He's sort of the favorite of the Tea Party movement. He's clearly high visibility. Could Donald Trump be a contender for the GOP in the upcoming presidential race?
Well, the short answer is yes. If you look at the surveys of Republican primary voters that have been conducted in the last couple of weeks, Donald Trump is either the front runner or very close to the head of the pack. And on the subject of revolution, the very fact that Donald Trump is the leading GOP candidate for president shows we've had a revolution in the way we conduct political campaigns. We've gone from serious to comedic.
Comedic. All right. So you would lump Donald Trump into the comedic side of things. But let's look at it from your political analyst point of view, if you will. Tell me about his style and substance when it comes to Donald Trump. What are his virtues in style, and what are some of his liabilities in style?
Well, I think that the Donald, as he likes to call himself, is eminently qualified to be president. First of all, he has a great deal of expertise on dealing with the financial issues that would shape his presidency. He's been bankrupt three times, and he owns casinos, so he understands the high-rolling gambling culture on Wall Street that drove millions of working families out of their jobs and out of their homes.
All right. Point made on that. Well, talk to me about what are some of his liabilities, straight up. What are some of the liabilities that you see with Donald Trump?
Let's go from the specific to the more general. He's a germaphobe, so he won't shake hands with anybody, and he certainly won't kiss any baby. And I can't believe that anybody's going to be elected dog catcher, much less president of the United States, if he won't shake a hand or kiss a baby. The other thing is clearly, I think he has been married three times. Two of his three wives have been foreign born. You know, I wonder if he checked their birth certificates before the ceremony.
Very funny, very funny. Well, on the subject of birth certificates, let's turn our attention to that. That is in the news today. So you're in Washington, D.C. You now know that we have the proof, the birth certificate of President Barack Obama. So talk to me about that. What does that mean politically? Has that laid the whole argument to rest, or is that just going to open up a whole nother kettle of fish?
Well, personally, I don't think it's going to lay the issue to rest. I think that even if the president released video of his mother giving birth to him in front of the statue of King Kamehameha on the grounds of the state capitol in Honolulu, they would still question whether he's an American or not. The birthers just can't wrap their heads around the idea that we have a black president and will never accept him regardless of what evidence he produces.
Well, now, Brad, I take no credit for this analysis. It was given to me by my producer, Tom. But the reality is it's going to open up a whole other kettle of fish. If you look at the birth certificate, what is President Obama's mother's age at the time of birth? It's 18 years old. Father's age at the time was 25 years old. Now, depending on the calendar, you know, it takes 9 months to gestate a baby and all of that good stuff, but it's quite possible that the baby was conceived as an underage child, and that could open up a whole new can of worms. What do you say to that?
Well, it may be. You know, it just shows how ridiculous this whole debate is. You know, when he released his birth certificates today, the president said, and I totally agree with him, when the country is facing an economic crisis, we have to focus on the important things. And the important things is working to get this economy. And I think the Republican obsession with the president's birthplace, despite all the evidence he has produced, shows they are not a serious party. Because all their major candidates are on this birther kick. You know, my mother used to say, when I was a little kid, small things amuse small minds, and this Republican obsession with the president's birth is a classic example of my mother's wisdom.
All right. Well, let's hear it from mother's wisdoms. Maternal wisdom is always very important. But let's do turn our attention to the field of possible GOP candidates at this point. The hopefuls include the likes of Governor Mitt Romney, Governor Mike Huckabee, Representative Ron Paul. Let's go through them one by one. Governor Mitt Romney, where do you see him as a potential candidate in 2012, and would he present any challenges to President Barack Obama?
First of all, I don't believe that Governor Romney will be the Republican nominee. I'm a native of Massachusetts, so I was able to follow his tenure as governor of Massachusetts very closely.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was governor of Massachusetts, he was very pro-gay rights. He was very much in favor of giving a woman the choice to whether or not she would have an abortion or not. And he instituted a public option health care in the state of Massachusetts.
Right.
Now he's running around the country trying to convince the Tea Party that he's a conservative. And honestly, I just don't think they're going to buy it because Romney is purely a cold, calculating politician who cares more about being president than anything else, and he'll say anything to anybody. And I just don't think the religious conservatives and the Tea Party types will trust him enough to nominate him as president.
Well, that might be. I had Pat Robertson was on the show talking about political candidates for 2012, and Mitt Romney's name, while it was mentioned, did not come up as one of the front runners. John Thune of South Dakota was his favorite, and of course now he's out of the race. But let me ask you this, because the Republican Party does have a history of sort of giving the nomination to the person that they feel is most entitled to it or who is next in line. Would you not say that Mitt Romney is next in line for the Republican nomination?
Well, he is next in line, but this is not your father's Republican Party. This is a party where last year, every time there was a primary race between a Tea Party candidate and an established Republican candidate, the Tea Party candidate won. There's been a revolution, there's that word again, in the Republican Party. And in a revolutionary atmosphere, they are not going to follow the same old of giving the nomination to the next guy in line.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Paul Revere of the Tea Party Revolution, as you like to call it, Representative Ron Paul. Now, he is he has not announced his candidacy, but are you surprised that he hasn't announced? Did you see him on Larry Kudlow? Were you expecting him to announce his candidacy on CNBC yesterday or the day before?
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's going to run. And, you know, actually, Paul is a Republican candidate I admire. I don't agree with him. But unlike Mitt Romney, he has strong principles. Now, the problem is some of those principles aren't going to sit well with the members of his own party. For example, Representative Paul is an isolationist, and he doesn't agree in U.S. military intervention in other countries.
Right.
And I think most of the members of his party do. The other problem Representative Paul will have is that he's a libertarian, not a conservative on social issues. So he believes the government has no role in interfering with abortion or who and who cannot get married. And again, I think the majority of the members of his party are pro-life, they're anti-gay rights, and I just don't think they're going to accept Paul's position on social and foreign policy issues.
Well, we're talking to Brad Bannon, everybody. And Brad, let me just challenge you there just a little bit, because it's the funny, changing nature of politics. Yes, I would agree with you that Ron Paul is an isolationist. And while that might not sit well with some of the people who want a strong military and want military intervention in some parts of the world, might it not play well with unions who are generally isolationist, wanting to put up tariff barriers against foreign goods that are coming into this country, taking jobs away from American workers? Would he not get a large portion of that?
Paul is against tariffs because he thinks they're unneeded government interference in the economic system.
All right, fair enough. So that would lose that the overall vote from the unionists as well. All right, let's turn our attention to Governor Mike Huckabee, who's against President Obama's Obamacare. He is a potential candidate from the GOP in 2012. What do you think his strengths might be in that election against President Obama?
Well, I think his main strength, what could help him win the Republican presidential nomination, is the fact that he is, as a minister, he is a religious conservative. And the Christian right has a lot of power in selecting the Republican nominee, especially in the first state, Iowa.
Right.
So I think the fact that he's a minister and a religious conservative is a big advantage to him in the Republican primary. Now, he also, Huckabee is also a birther, which will help him in a Republican primary. About a month ago, Governor Huckabee said publicly on one of those cable TV shows that he believes that Barack Obama's political philosophy came about because of his birth, and because he was born and raised in Kenya. So he, again, is on the birther thing. And those positions may be attractive to Republican voters, but they're not attractive to the independent and moderate voters who are going to select the next president. The other problem Huckabee has is, and this is a real major problem, while he was governor of Arkansas, he pardoned a convicted murderer who was in the Arkansas State Penitentiary. After that prisoner was released, he moved to Seattle, and in Seattle, he gunned down five Seattle policemen. And honestly, I think that will kill him in terms of running for president.
No pun intended. We're talking to Brad Bannon, everybody, president, CEO of Bannon Communications Research, a political pundit. Let's turn equal time to the women in the GOP candidacy pool as well. We've got Governor Sarah Palin and, more importantly, Representative Michelle Bachmann. Let's talk about each of them in turn.
Well, first of all, I don't think Sarah Palin is going to run. She is between her contract with the Fox News Channel, her reality television show, and her book sales. She is making a mint, and I doubt very seriously she would give that up to run for president. Michelle Bachmann, on the other hand, is clearly very interested in running for president. Last week, she was in the first primary state, New Hampshire, and she's also spent a lot of time in Iowa, which is the first caucus state.
Right.
I think she's very serious about running for president. The only problem is she's a birther, too. And I think the problem, I think even though the birther position is popular among Republicans and conservatives, moderate and independent voters find it foolish and distracting from what moderates think is the real issue in the campaign, which is the economy. And Bachmann faces the same problem that Huckabee and Gingrich and Trump have, which is they're so preoccupied with these birther issues that they don't ever talk about the economy, which is the most important issue to moderate independent voters.
All right. We're talking to Brad Bannon, who's the CEO of Bannon Communications Research. And I found it interesting listening to your last answer, Brad, that you were talking about Sarah Palin's reality show. Of course, we started off this segment talking about Donald Trump and who has a reality show as well. What does it say to you about the changing nature of politics that two of the eight candidates for the GOP that we're going to talk about actually have their own TV reality shows? Is there any inference to be drawn from that?
Well, yeah, I think it is. And again, I think there's been a revolution in American presidential campaigns, and we've gone from serious to silly. I think that's what it suggests.
All right. One last candidate to talk about, and then I'm going to ask your opinion as a strategist who would be the most formidable opponent. But that last one is somebody you also mentioned in your last answer, Representative Newt Gingrich.
Well, Gingrich has all sorts of problems. Like Sarah Palin, he is very other than Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich is the most unpopular public figure in the United States. And he's unpopular for two reasons I can think of. First of all, Gingrich has, and I think this is going to be a real problem with him in winning the Republican nomination, he's the candidate who's running around talking about traditional family values. But here's a guy who has been married three times. He told his first wife that he was divorcing her while she was in the hospital getting treated with cancer. And finally, when President Clinton was in the impeachment process of President Clinton, Gingrich was criticizing the president for having an affair with Monica Lewinsky, but it turned out he was having an affair with one of his own congressional employees all that time. And I just don't think the religious conservatives or in the Republican Party will accept that.
Well, that's a good observation, and I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, Brad. We're out of time. Always a fascinating guest, a fascinating subject. Brad, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about your writings, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, everything there is to know about me, my writings, my television appearances are on my website, which is www.bannoncr.com, www.bannoncr.com.
And not only your television appearances, but also your appearances here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Brad, thank you so much.
As soon as I get the MP3, it goes right up on the website, Billy.
You are a scholar and a gentleman. I thank you for that, Brad. And thank you so much for being my guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great. Thanks for having me on again, Billy.
Thank you.